In the beginning. We read those words right here in verse 1. It says, in the beginning, God. If you stop there, it tells you a lot. In the beginning was God. He was always there. But in the beginning, when everything comes to fruition, when we see the story of creation played out, it's that a simple word from the Lord. My life changed from a simple word from the Lord. God bless you is a pretty simple word, set of words. It's amazing how our lives can change with such a little thing. But in the beginning was God. But you know, it's not just the start of a story. It's the foundation of every story. When we look around our world today, I know there are plenty of people and some even that attend church on Sundays that just really don't believe God's at the foundation of their story. But God is at the foundation of all of our stories. In the beginning was God. God created us in His image. God is where, or Genesis is where God introduces Himself. It's where He announces Himself. It's where He speaks through Moses to write the words, in the beginning, God. Not with an argument for His existence. He doesn't sit down and give us an apologetic that we can use to defeat every evolutionary theory in the world or every creation story apart from God. I do remember in school, even as an unbeliever, having some questions about the beginning of the universe. I knew religious people. They talked about God in the beginning. And I remember having like the question, you know, well, who created God? If God created everything. But I had the same question about evolution. I mean, if everything just suddenly went poof one day and we're all here, well, who created the explosion that caused the Big Bang? Or where did the particles come from before it? He doesn't start off with an argument. He's not going to debate His existence. He proclaims the existence. In the beginning, God. He announces it by talking about His power, His purpose, and His presence throughout Genesis. We see it play out in all kinds of things. I wrote this morning in a post about the impossible, and the God of Genesis does the impossible over and over and over and over. And I don't know, is there anybody in here that is over the age of 70? You can raise your hand. All right. How about over the age of 80? All right. How about 100 years old? Okay, so if our oldest are in their 80s and 90s, how would you all like to have a child in the next little bit? Just, you wouldn't like to do that. Well, it's like, I mean, it's impossible. It doesn't happen. But our God, the God of the beginning, the God of new beginnings, the God of something out of nothing, makes it possible. Suddenly, we see a baby born at 100 years old, and power, purpose, and presence are displayed in those types of actions. Getting a guy to endure 120 some years of criticism for building a boat in a desert. Taking somebody who was thrown away by his family and sold into slavery and making him the leader of Egypt. Taking an 80-year-old wanted man and saying, I'm going to use you to lead my people into the promised land across the Exodus. He's the God of impossible. He's the God of new beginnings. He's the God of something out of nothing. There was a pastor one time I heard that went through a whole litany of different things with Scripture, and he was talking about just so happened, you know, just so happened that this. There is no just so happens with God. I have no doubt in my mind that looking back over my life, Every circumstance I have found myself in was a part of His purpose and plan. Even the hardest ones. Even the most difficult. Because those things are what now give me the strength to endure hard things. Make difficult decisions. Walk into difficult circumstances. So when you look at the first two chapters, we see in Genesis the God who creates. We the God laying out the foundation of the earth we live on, that He speaks and there is light, that He says the word and there are seas and land and animals, and He creates us in His image. Gives us a beautiful garden that had all we could ever need or want. Turned out we thought it was just not quite enough. But the God that creates is revealed to us in these first two chapters of Genesis, and we'll talk more about that when we get to that point in a couple of weeks. The truth of what we see in chapters 1 and 2 is that God is the source of all things. He's the way they come to be. It's always been amazing to me that He invites us into the creative process. And we have two children. We got to participate in the creation of that. We certainly get to create aspects of our lives and our homes and the things that we do. But let us not forget that He was the foundation or the source of all things. Everything we have is because God first created. None of the things that we have would be here if it wasn't for Him. Nothing is random. Nothing is by chance. I had only been saved a few months and maybe a year, and we lost our lead pastor. They had a guy come in to preach a revival, and he came walking out, and his very first words, I never have forgotten them, but he said, "Has it ever occurred to you that nothing ever occurred to God?" God's never went, "Oh, I didn't see that coming." He's never been surprised by our circumstance. We have to remember that He is a God of control of all the things that are going on around us. He's a God of purpose and planning, a God of creation and redemption. His plans and purposes are carried out all around us, and we too often write them off as happenstance or chance. Well, what's the chances that a 26-year-old guy walks into his own parents' living room and sees his wife sitting at the dining room table? What's the chances that he's going to use that relationship in some fashion that will one day result in me standing before you as the pastor of your church? Things don't happen by chance. They happen by planning and purpose. And for me, I had to go through a lot of bad things before I would get to the place where I would look to God for the answers. But He knew what I would have to go through, and He knew what it would take. And those things came about in my life to the point that I turned to Him. Nothing is by chance. Everything exists because God spoke it into being. He spoke it into being. If God can create the universe out of nothing, He can certainly bring beauty and purpose out of the chaos in your life and in mine. We can trust that God to be able to make something out of nothing. And I do remember quite often being told, "You're never going to amount to anything." There were several people in my life that treated me as if I was nothing. But I know a God who makes something out of nothing. And so do you. It's the God we gather to worship. It's the God we sing worship and praise to. It's the God we read and study and apply to our lives. And he wasn't alone. We know from John 1 through 3, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Creation is at work in the Trinity. If you are looking for a cross connection to this very beginning part of creation, it's the fact that the Trinity that we will someday come to benefit from, both the Son and the Holy Spirit, as well as the Father, is present in the moment of creation. When you move into chapters 3 through 11, God shows us the God who cares. The fact of the matter is, we see the fall of man in these verses. We witness the destruction that that brings. I've said before in some other settings, but why does God tell man not to eat of the knowledge of good and evil? Why that one? The tree of everlasting life is there. He doesn't put that off. What's off limits is the knowledge of good and evil. Well, I believe, and I believe Scripture bears it out, that the reason why was because when you eat that, it's not necessarily that you suddenly come to some knowledge like your God, like Satan promises Eve. But it becomes more that you individually, apart from God, start to determine what is good and what is evil. It's Israel with no king. All of the people did what was right in their own eyes. The fall of man comes in. Suddenly we think we're the judge of what's right and what's wrong, what's good and what's evil. And we are separated from God. But even in judgment, God makes a way for grace. Even in that moment, knowing what it would cost, knowing the ramifications of what had happened and the decision that was made, God is not distant when we fail. And we see that through chapters 3 through 11. He seeks us out, calls us back, and promises a redeemer. Even in 15, he says, I will put enmity between you and the woman, speaking to the serpent, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. From the very first sin, God had the cross in view. A plan in place. A purpose to be fulfilled. The offspring of the woman points directly to Jesus. And we'll see that over and over and over again in the book of Genesis. The foreshadowings, the archetypes, the prototypes of what Christ will be and who he will be. In chapters 12 through 50, God shows us the God who calls. The truth of those chapters is that God calls ordinary people to accomplish his extraordinary plans. It's always amazing to me that Jacob, who ultimately gets renamed and becomes Israel, the nation of the Jews, was a deceiver, a schemer, a liar, a cheater. Someone who wrestled with God, who didn't get it right a lot of the time, but yet God chose to use him. Ordinary people accomplish extraordinary plans with a God who makes something out of nothing, who constantly redefines beginnings, and that's a God we should trust our lives with. So even when you may feel small in your life, in God's hands, it can make impact on generations after generations after generations. Scripture, there's a few scriptures talk about the fact that someone's sin will carry on through the fourth and fifth generation. It's not talking about God's judgment or harsh judgment on that. It means sin has consequences. And our sin sometimes affects our kids, our grandkids, our great-grandkids. But so do our godly choices. Our godly choices affect generation after generation after generation. Most churches have a legacy of generational consistency with following the gospel. And that purpose and mission behind those things is what carries out to us sitting in these pews today. There are a few charter members that are still here, but a lot of people came here much later than that. Some of us just 6 months ago. In God's hands, our lives can make an impact for generations. God's covenant promise to Abraham finds its ultimate fulfillment in Christ. In 3:8, it says, in Galatians 3:8, it says, the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, in you shall all the nations be blessed. If you were going to take a three-piece view of Genesis, we're going to take bigger or smaller pieces than that, but you would have those things. You would have the God who creates. You would have the God of the beginning. You would have the God who calls and the God who cares, but there are more themes throughout Genesis than simply those. Some of those key themes that we'll discuss over the course of our study will be God as creator and sovereign over all. We'll talk about the seriousness of sin and its consequences. We'll talk about God's covenant promises and his faithfulness, the beginning of God's plan of redemption, the importance of faith, obedience, and trust in God. God is not just the God of the beginning. He is the God of new beginnings. I would say one of the things that maybe drew a connection between me and some of the people on the search committee initially, and then some of the church people as I got to know them here and have gotten to know all of you, or at least a lot of you. You were all looking for some new beginning, some new change, some new energy, some new something. Any new beginning that we have will be because of God. And it will be brought about by God. But the greatest promise of Scripture is that He is consistently creating new beginnings. He created a new beginning for me to begin with in 2004. But He has created them over and over and over again since 2004. I've said before, and you'll hear it a lot, but it is unbiblical for us to believe as a people that our best days are behind us. Our best days as believers will always be ahead of us. We worship the God of creation, of not a God of preservation, but a God of creation. New beginnings, new challenges, new victories. He is the God of new beginnings. He makes something out of nothing over and over and over. Genesis isn't just the start of the Bible. It's the start of God's revealed plan for humanity. The same God who spoke light into darkness wants to speak life into you and into me and into us as a church. The question for us as we go through this study will be, will you trust the God of the beginning with the rest of your story? Will He define your path forward, or will you continue to determine for yourself what is right and what is wrong? Maybe more importantly for us at Colonial Heights Baptist Church is, will we, the church, trust him with the rest of our story? Will he be our guide? Will he be the one who gets to determine our paths forward? We don't just worship the God of the beginning. We worship the God of new beginnings, who takes nothing and creates something. And I, for one, am excited about what it is that he's about to create in this church. And I hope you are too. As we go to our time of invitation, I would encourage you to think about where in your life you're at. Maybe you're at that place where you need that tile to flip. You need a new beginning. And God is always willing to provide that to you. Maybe you've never come to faith, and today is the day you need to make that decision. Maybe you've been in the faith for a long time, but for whatever reason, your first love has been long lost. You've gone from hot or cold to something lukewarm, and today is a day to re-begin, to see a new beginning in your life, in your passion for Christ, in your love for others, in your growth in the gospel that we talk about and preach. Just understand that today, like every day, the God of creation is willing to create in you a new beginning today. I'm going to pray for us. We'll go to our time of invitation. If there's a response that you need to make, whether that's coming forward to pray over things that are going on in your life or in our church, I would welcome you to come forward and do that. If it's a decision you need to make for surrendering your life to Christ, I would encourage you to come forward for that. Or whatever it is that God's laying on your heart, I would appreciate you sharing that with me if you come forward and do so. If you would please stand with me, I'm going to pray and we'll go to our time of invitation this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I am grateful for who you are, for what you have done. When I read these stories in Scripture, it's so hard to imagine what it must have been like to be the recipient of a child at 100, or to build a boat, or rule a country, or lead an exodus, or slay a giant. But then I remember, Lord, I remember what you've done in my life. Things that seemed impossible are not impossible with you. You are the God of new beginnings, and I'm grateful for the one you gave me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.